is Shar Dalid. Correct me if I'm wrong. Shar Dalid Perek Zayin. Beautiful. Okay. You know, the more and more I'm learning this with you, the more and more it's becoming so clear to me that there is so much that was missing in my upbringing in terms of understanding why I was learning Torah B'Iyun. And the more and more I'm talking with you after the shiur, the more and more clear it becomes to me that Nefesh HaChaim, without this introduction, there's so much that, you know, you guys are pounding away, Baruch Hashem. But there needs to be an understanding why you're pounding away, and what exactly are the goals of it. And your yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, has a fantastic reputation, and I see it with my own eyes. But so much of it sometimes could be a product of, you know, everybody's doing it, or we know that this is the right thing to do, and so we're doing it. You're surrounded by good guys, you're surrounded by serious guys who want to grow and so on. But for Friday morning to take a step back and say, wait a second, what, why, and how in terms of our learning B'Iyun. I mean, last year I did halacha with the guys, and that was fantastic. I enjoyed it a lot, but I'm thankful to the hanhala of Rav Yamar Waxman, who suggested to do something a little bit more machshav oriented, because this has been, you know, there's a term in English called a paradigm shift. You've heard of that, and you did in science. For me, this experience in learning with you has been a paradigm shift in terms of talking about Iyun and so on. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. Let's go. Perek Zayin. V'lazois, roi loi la'adam. L'hachin atzmai b'chol eitz. It's appropriate for a person to prepare himself. Koidim shiyatzcha l'lmoid. Before he begins to learn. V'ischashev ma'atim koina yisbarach shemai. V'taharas ha'lev b'yiras Hashem. Context, of course, Rav Chaim Volozhiner has been teaching us that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be defined in terms of Talmud Torah. And he says, in the beginning of Shar Dal, that people have made a mistake. They had focused most of their efforts in terms of the time they spend in the Beis Medrash in working on their Yiras Shemayim. And he said something jarring to us in the beginning of the year. And he said, that's not Torah Lishma. And he's begun to develop what Torah Lishma means. However, now Reb Chaim Volozhiner takes a step back. And he says, of course, I'm not saying that Seder Musar, I'm not saying that working on ourselves in terms of Yiras Shemayim is not extremely, extremely important. It really, really is. And he's now going to show us what he thinks is the appropriate blend, that's an important word, the appropriate blend. It's not going to be that there's going to be Torah and there's going to be Yiras Shemayim. There's going to be this beautiful symphony of both Torah, Yiras Shemayim, and Talmud Torah in its classic sense, and Yiras Shemayim, playing together. And here he begins to give us how he outlines that mechanic or that methodology. Before a person learns to spend time thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uli Taher Me'avonosa Bihuri Tshuva. I think I already mentioned to you that it's not a coincidence that in the Sidrei HaYeshivas, right before Seder, morning Seder was Musar Seder. I would advocate, if you have a choice, whether some guys do halacha also before morning Seder, I would suggest that morning Seder start not with halacha Seder if you have to choose between halacha and Musar, but rather start with Musar. You could also, if you have both, Matov and Manoim. But the way in which you frame your Talmud Torah should start with the reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it already started this morning, even before breakfast. It started this morning when you davened. When you davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in itself is a process of working through one's Yiras Shemayim. All of you have heard the idea that to daven is referred to lehispalel, which is in the reflexive. The word pilel means to judge oneself. So actually, I think this is not thought about enough, and I haven't seen enough written about this, but I do believe that Musar Seder doesn't begin with after breakfast and sitting down with a Mesilas Yesharim, or after breakfast sitting down with a pen and paper for Cheshbon HaNefesh, but Musar Seder really begins the moment you wake up and you say, Moda Ani Lefanecha. The words themselves, a Moda Ani is a concession. I concede right? People point out that the word hodah has two parts to it. Hodah means to thank, and also the word hodah means to concede. I concede to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything comes from him, and it's not kolchi v'atzmi od yasli l'chayal zeh. So already when we said modani this morning, boom, that was already the first step of Musar Seder. But in the classic sense of Musar Seder, I think before one's learning, one should go through that process of taharas hamachshavu. L'tahar ma'anosa b'irurei tshuva, k'deish yuchal l'iskashir l'stabek b'is oska b'toyra k'doysha. So in order that he be ready to be medabek b'hakadosh baruch hu in terms of his Torah, b'diburo uritzono yisbarach shemo. With the dibur and the ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we already made a big deal about these words. B'diburai u'biritzainai. We pointed out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. We are finite. How do you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How are you davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In a way, it's impossible to be davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara in Ksubis tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eish, and there's no way to be davek to him. And the Gemara says, how are you davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being davik to Talmid HaChacham? That's what the Gemara in Ksubis, towards the end of Ksubis, Kufimul, Kufdal, Kufhei, the Gemara there says, the way in which we're davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through being davik to Talmid HaChacham. But then there's another way, the Gemara says. The Gemara says this, tells us another way, to be davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi quotes this in Devarim. Quotes both of these Ma'amore Chazal. Rashi says, is to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Rav Soloveitchik described in Latin, imitatio Dei, imitating the ways of God. In other words, we go and we're follow in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, anivahu, mahu, rachum, afato rachum. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, there's a third way. The third way is neither imitating the ways of God, neither being davik to Talmid HaChacham, or not only, we should say, not only imitating the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only being davik to Talmid HaChacham, but the third way is to be davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. The only way we could cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, the only way we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we relate to him, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. So for example, let's look out the window. That I always, every once in a while, do this with you. And today is at first glance, we were trading in America that this is a cloudy, dreary day, right? This is not a cloudy, dreary day. This is beautiful. Look at these colors out there. Look at the different types of green that you have in the leaves. That's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those different shades of green are Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that is in the physical world. If we go on a higher level, the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the spiritual world. So we're davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. There's no way for us to be davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon was that the leaves be green. But that's mundane. That's beautiful. That testifies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Avraham Avinu found that there was a God that existed. But there's much greater will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moral will. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moral will? That's the Torah. By learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, then we become davek to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that ability to really, really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is not simply one's intellectual prowess. It's not one's intellectual prowess. The way in which we're davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an absolute prerequisite, is for us to first develop our Yiras Shamayim, our sense of whether we're truly moda ani lefanecha. Every once in a while, you might have come across, unfortunately, someone who's a brilliant Talmud Chacham, but also a Baal Gaiva. And the Gemara describes that phenomenon in very, very, very harsh terms. In order for someone to be davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first step is moda ani lefanecha. Is a person to recognize that at the end of the day, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nothing is mine. You know, if I look at things as if they're mine, so ultimately I'm making myself very small. If I surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm actually making myself very big. Because even the most genius person, even the wealthiest person, even the most powerful person, at the end of the day, their wealth and their power is extremely finite. It's nothing in the big picture. The moment a person says, no, 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 it's not me, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they become connected to the power of Kudsha Baruch Hu, that eternal power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does Yiras Shamayim do? Yiras Shamayim allows us to be dovek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, to connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon in a way in which we are now going to really be able to connect to something that is infinite. So Yiras Shamayim itself is not the Chefza Shel Torah. The Musar Seder is not the Chefza Shel Torah. To use classic Brisker terms, it becomes the Hechsher. It becomes the way in which we are truly able to connect to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the moment in which I don't let go of my jealousies, of my gaiva, of my desire for kavod, my desires of materialism, I can't truly connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon because I'm stuck in my own stuff. What Musar Seder does is it removes all of my own stuff so that I'm able to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Now, your own stuff is okay. It's not a bad thing. That's the human condition. You know, if a person is honest with themselves, they look inside themselves, they say, wait a second, I am a little bit of a Baal Gaiva. Wait a second, there is a desire I have for Kavod. Wait a second, I really, really, truly appreciate the fine materialistic things in life. That's okay. I'm not saying you shouldn't work on it. For sure you have to work on it. But the moment in which we go through the process of saying, wait a second, what's really important? The standard stuff that we talk about in Musar Seder, the moment in which we do that, then we're ready to truly to be Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. And yes, it's going to affect how you understand Bava Kama in terms of the way the bar and the shar work. Because ultimately, the more and more we let go of those things that we need to work on, the more and more we're able to be Dovek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a hand before.
You mentioned that there are three reasons. So, is it possible that the third reason can be really an av of the other two reasons?
Yes.
If you follow Ratz and you're emulating him, and also you're following
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely. Well said. Beautiful. What's being suggested is that ultimately Reb Chaim V'Lazer is giving the super reason of those two different Mamore Chazal. That ultimately, when a person is dovek to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they'll be truly able to go in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. And it requires a certain amount of surrender to be dovek to Talmid HaChamim. Yes, correct. Beautiful. Continues Reb Chaim V'Lazer in five lines. In v'gam yikab al-atzmo, lasos, ulekayin, kechol ha-kosa b'torah she-besal b'al-peh. This is very profound what Reb Chaim V'Lazer is doing. And I don't know if we do this enough. Reb Chaim V'Lazer is saying also, notice what he said. Let's be medayik in every word. He said, number one, to purify our sins with hirur tshuva. By the way, how many of us, before we begin learning B'iyun, really think about doing tshuva? In other words, this Musar Seder, Reb Chaim V'Lazer, everybody says, Reb Chaim V'Lazer is not into all of Sifrei Mira and Musar, he's into the classic learning of Torah, all those things are true on some level. Well, the Reisha, though, is not entirely true at all. Reb Chaim V'Lazer's moments before Talmud Torah are extremely intense spiritual experience. Ad kedei kach, he describes, to purify oneself from one's sins and hirur tshuva. That's intense. And he's saying, without it, you won't be able to be mekasher u'mistabek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the beautiful thing is, Reb Chaim V'Lazer, it seems to me, believes that you could do this in 5-10 minutes every morning. But it's all about those 5-10 minutes. You know, they say over in the yeshivas often, especially now that everybody's celebrating the Siyum HaShas. By the way, I Zocha the Shabbos, I'm going to be making my first Siyum HaShas with Daf Yomi. I failed 2 or 3 times, you should know. First time, but it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a failure. It was that I tried. And it got to a certain point, and then I had to stop. And I tried, it got a little more, and I had to stop again. When people are celebrating the Siyum, so they say over something beautiful from the Chassam Sofer. One of the things that the Daf Yomi does is that the Daf Yomi creates inside of a person the idea that I want to maximize my time. And they say over from the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer made a Siyum HaShas, and he said, this is the dearest Siyum HaShas that I've ever made. Why? Because it was the time that when nothing was going on, or I was waiting for someone, or something else was going on, and I had 5-10 minutes, that's when I learned. I opened up, I had my own Seder of extra time, And with that, many, many years later, I made a Siyum HaShas. So Sam Seifer said that that was the dearest Siyum HaShas that he ever made. It's well, that's a well-known mimer. But that point is not only about learning. That point is also about making the most of your 5-10 minutes in terms of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yiras Shamayim as well. In other words, there's 5-10 minutes, there's this dead time between Siddurim. There's time in which you thought that you were going to be doing something with somebody else, and use it in terms of cultivating your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't only use it what the Chassam Sofer describes in terms of going weiter, going further, but also use it in a way that you're alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. That's the step one that we saw. Ulatar me'evanosa bihurei tshuva. And then we were continuing being medayik that Rav Chaim Volozhiner says v'gam yikabel al atzmo lasos l'kayim b'chol hakosav b'torah shebichsav v'bal peh. There's another precondition. Not only tshuva, not only tiher machshavosav, he says also to be mekabel on yourself torah shebichsav torah shebal peh. This rabosai is the difference of someone who learns Torah as an intellectual experience and someone who learns Torah as an Eved Hashem. Someone who learns Torah as an intellectual experience says, you know what? Torah is challenging. Torah is interesting. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to work on it. It's fascinating. It's profound. That's one approach. And by the way, I think a lot of people in the United States of America learn Torah this way. And there's a little bit lacking in the second part. The second part is, I'm not coming into this because it's a fascinating intellectual experience. I'm going to know what to do halacha l'maisa, but this experience is part of a Kabbalas HaTorah, and I'm accepting all of Torah upon myself. All Shisha Sadarim of Mishnah, all of Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, even the ones that are hard for me, and even the ones that I don't understand. And what I'm doing now is I'm going to try to understand Bava Kama Daf Lamed. I'm going to try to understand it. But not only am I trying to understand Bava Kama Daf Lamed. In this experience of understanding Bava Kama Daf Lamed, I am stating my desire to understand everything, even the ones that I don't want to understand, or even the ones that my gut is resistant to being accepting. That's a chelek of Yiras Shamayim prior to Talmud Torah. It's not just a Yiras Shamayim to regret the bad things that we did. The learning experience, in order for it to be a Kabbalah Satorah, as the Gemara describes Seches Brachos, Kinesinaso B'Sinai, receiving as it was in Har Sinai, is that this statement of trying to understand these lines of Gemara is a statement of me trying to understand everything. And I know that there are things I won't understand. And I know that there'll be things I'll find difficult. But at the end of the day, I am showing myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this experience that I want to understand the things that are hard, but not only hard intellectually, that are hard emotionally as well. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying that's part of what we do those 10 minutes before Seder. Again, inside, that's a very, very important point. And what's the last line, the last Kabbalah? Not only am I going to understand, but my lifestyle is going to be defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. My lifestyle is not going to be defined by anything else. No matter what's going on in the world around me, my lifestyle is going to be defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. V'chein, kisharoitza la'ayim b'dvar halacha. And similarly, when you want to look into a dvar halacha, roi l'espalashi yizakei yisparach la'asukei shemayi t'aluba d'hilchasa. We need siyata d'shemayi to know what the correct halacha is. Even if we have all the information, even if we read all the appropriate halachas, we looked up all the appropriate gemaras, we had all the appropriate marimakomos, at the end of the day, how to be noeg lahalacha requires siyata d'shmaya. L'chavein la'amita shel Torah. Of course, in the beginning of your Gemaras, you have something that is very, very beautiful, and that is the tefillah space of Medrash b'chnisaso b'yitziyaso. I've been saying shir now for a few years. It's now been 15 years, Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. And I'll tell you, when I started saying Shana Bet shir, in Tivari, in the Old City, I was so nervous about teaching the Talmidim correctly. I would say over this tefillah sometimes 30 or 40 times before Shia. I think I've lost a little bit of the sensitivity. Sometimes I'll only say it 5 times before Shia. this tefillah is a beautiful, beautiful tefillah. If you think about it. And you could add your own words as well. I said in the car before I came to learn with you, and sometimes I'll add some words, because the tefillah says, Shelo yirod dvar tekol al yodi, v'lo akashal bedvar alacha. So if I'm learning machshava, I'll also say other things, not only lo akashal bedvar alacha, divrei hadracha, divrei tochacha, and so on and so forth. But these words are very, very beautiful. Why do I mention this now? Let's say you're rushing. Let's say you're late. By the way, sometimes people do get up late. It's not a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing. It's human to get up late. First of all, that should be the way you perceive someone else who gets up late, and it's the way you should perceive, even more importantly, perceive yourself if you get up late. There's been a big hack with the Talmidim who learn in the building of the Gris Kolel that I mentioned to them that Rav Nevensal says that the Sidrei HaYeshiva are so important that if a person misses davening with a minion in the Yeshiva minion, they should daven b'yechidus and run to, and continue learning in Seder. The guys were very, very taken aback that I said that. I quoted from it. It's not me. It's what Nevensal writes in the back of Chelik Vav. Nevensal is very passionate that Sidrei HaYeshiva are most important, and it's every once in a while a person will miss a minion. It happens. But he feels so strongly, instead of making another minion with guys and so or running out of yeshiva to look for a minion, that okay, a person will daven, a person will daven be yechidus. So sometimes we're late. And if we're late often, then something for us to work on and to make a chajna nevish. Why are we late often? But if it happens every once in a while that a person is late and he's not able to learn those 10, 5, 10, 15 minutes of musr beforehand, just say this tefillah slowly. That in itself frames what one is doing. And it's a tefillah for siyata d'shmaya, both in terms of the past as well as going towards the future. V'chein be'emtza alimut, continuing on in Perek Zayin. And also, in the middle of the learning, harishus nesuna la'adam lahafsik zman muat. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, it's not bittul Torah to take a little bit of time. Terem yichboi miliba yirasa yisparach shemo. Even in the middle of learning, a person is allowed to stop if he feels that sense of Yirah Shemayim is escaping him. Shekiba lo kodem aschalas halimut. Lizbone mechadosh od ma'at biyiras Hashem. So therefore, don't be critical of your chavrusa. If you went to the bathroom, and you guys were stuck in the middle of a hard Ramban, and you come back, and you see that he's doing something that's Yirah Shemayim oriented, that's a holy experience. It could very well be that in the middle of a Ramban, it might be not the best time for him to stop his concentration. But even then, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that what's important and what's central is to maintain that sense of being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what this tefillah also says. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to have your siyata d'shmaya in my Talmud Torah. L'spon mechadosh ol mat b'yiras Hashem. K'mo shamru chazal, mashal la'adam sh'amer l'shluchav. The mashal is to a person who says to his messenger, Halei likur shel chidim la'aliyah. This is a very, very important gemara. We're going to continue Mirtz Hashem next time with this gemara as well. If a person says to his emissary, I want to buy wheat. So the fellow buys him wheat. Reuven asks Shimon, you're my shliach, buy me wheat. He goes and he buys him wheat. And then he comes back to Reuven with the box. And Reuven asks him a strange question, but a very important question. Amar le, a raftali bahem kav chumtim? He asks him, did you put chaff inside? Of course, you have the wheat is the actual stuff that you make the bread out of. It turns into flour. And then the wheat sits in the stalk, and the stalk is, when you crush it, it becomes the chaff. So he asks him, did you bring me chaff? The chaff has no purpose. You need to remove the chaff in order to turn it into flour. However, if he says, no, I didn't bring any chaff. I brought just the wheat without any chaff. On my lay, and this is true, this would be how wholesalers of wheat would be nohag. Mutav lo shelo ilesa. It would have been better that you don't bring it to me at all. Better, don't bring me any wheat than bringing me wheat that doesn't have any chaff inside. Why? A very simple reason. Today's actually a great example. It's very moist outside. If you have wheat and you don't have chaff, then what's going to happen is that the wheat is going to spoil. What the chaff does is absorbs the moisture and it protects the wheat. The chaff protects the wheat. So the Gemara says that just like someone who has wheat, it's absolutely critical that they have the chaff inside. V'koi al emtza esek v'tfuas chachmas ha-Torah. We're talking about putting inside the tfua. What's the tfua? The tfua is chachmas ha-Torah. Sheroi gamkein la'arei b'selcha yirasa yisparach k'dei she'diskayim tamudo b'yado. In order for your learning to last, you need to have the wheat that's in the chaff that's inside. What's the chaff? The chaff is the Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim protects the wheat. Without it, the wheat is going to entirely spoil. And when one encounters people who failed in as Talmidei Chachamim, you'll see that they didn't sprinkle around their Torah enough Yerushalayim. And the key is finding that balance. Now notice, Rav Chaim Volozhiner's analogy is pretty strong. I don't know if all the Gedolei Chassidus would use this analogy. He's talking about Sifrei Yira and Musar and Chassidus as chaff. In other words, everything else, what is the wheat? What's the goods? The goods are the Torah. But the Yerushalayim is what protects it. And without it, it's not going to be Torah. It's going to be Chas V'Chalila. Something else. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Please remind me next time that we have to finish off Perek Zayin with the last paragraph, so hopefully I'll remember as well. Actually, don't put away your Nefesh HaChaims entirely. Today's 10-minute Musar is going to be built on a Nefesh HaChaim. When I did it last night in the Gris Kolel, the guys weren't sitting with the Nefesh HaChaim in front of them. So we'll be able, maybe we'll spend even a little bit more time doing it together. Okay. I've mentioned this to you in the past, I think, right? That there was, and this is a tremendous, this is a fantastic follow-up to what we've been doing in Nefesh HaChaim, that there was a convert who described his first time he walked into the Beis Medrash. He went over to people and he asked them what they were learning. Does it sound familiar? Yeah. And he asked them, I'll say it quickly. He asked them, what are you learning? And this guy said he was describing a pit and a person falling inside. He asked somebody else. He said, I'm learning about Jewish divorce. He asked somebody else. He said, I'm learning about sacrifices in the temple. He asked somebody else. He says, I'm learning about a woman's menstrual period. And he said they were talking about everything, but there's one thing that they weren't talking about. And that is God. And that's what Shaar Dalet Nefesh HaChaim is all about. Why is it that we do it that way? Why is it that Talmud Torah is not God-focused? And so what we've been learning up until now is that it has to be framed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That what's going to protect that, it has to be framed, Torah has to be framed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That what's going to protect the Torah is the learning of Yerushalayim and Musar. But there's a time that we have to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight and forward. Extremely forward. So in this week's parsha, I want to talk about something that might be a little bit above your heads. And it could be some of it is not entirely above your heads. And I don't mean intellectually above your heads. I mean in terms of your above your heads and your life experience. This week's parsha has a term that traditionally, for generations and generations, was repeated by Klal Yisrael, even the most dire of times. At the end of the bracha for Dan, the pasuk says, "Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I look forward to your salvation. Rabbi Zalman Sirotskin in Sefer Aznayim LaTorah says that once upon a time, people would constantly say this pasuk in three different ways. They would start first with the pasuk, "Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem." Kivisi Hashem Lishu Ascha, Hashem Lishu Ascha Kivisi. And this was a mantra of Emunah. It was a mantra of Bitachon. Rabbi Biederman describes a story that there was a woman who was standing online in the camps in Hungary. This is before they were taken to Poland, but she was standing in a selection in Hungary, and she was saying over these words, Mishuascha kivisi Hashem. And she was lucky that there was a Hungarian officer that was standing next to her, who was standing next to the Germans, and the word ki in Hungarian means out. And he misunderstood her, and he thought she said, we want to get out. So he had Rachmanis on her, and he said to her, I'm going to look this way, and run that way, not that way, run that way, and you'll be able to run into the forest. And she was saved. Ostensibly, at first glance, it's the Hungarian officer that saved her. But it wasn't only that. It's Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. And these words are extremely, extremely central to Ma'aminim Ebnei Ma'aminim. You know, nowadays, people want the easy way out. Says the Ramban in this week's parasha, you know why it's said by Dan, Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem? Take a look at this Ramban. It's a beautiful Ramban. You know why it's mentioned by Shevet Dan? Because the previous pasuk is referring to Shimshon. Now, ultimately, Shimshon HaGibar was the last of the Shoftim, and Shimshon HaGibar doesn't entirely succeed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Shmuel, writes the Ramban, says that the Shoftim are going to be the ones who are going to be the saviors of Klal Yisrael. But he's the last. Shimshon HaGibar is the last. Says the Ramban, it's a statement that we believe that it's not the Shoftim that are saving us, but our ultimate savior is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. And the Hamik Dover goes even a step further. He says, Lishuasla Kivisi Hashem, post Shimshon HaGibar, Klal Yisrael moved up. They were no longer going to be able to rely on Shoftim or Malachim to save them. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that's going to save them. Sometimes that's a hard thing for us to internalize. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, they say, I say this over to the guys in Shalom Bayis in Gross, they say that a fellow went to the Stipler and he was having issues at home with his wife, was having Shalom Bayis issues. And he went over to the Stipler and he said, I need a skula for Shalom Bayis. So he was excited. The Stipler said, 1 minute. He went out of the room, he came back, and he was holding a broom. And he said, this is your skula for Shalom Bayis. He gave him the broom. This story with the Stipler is a very, very powerful story. At the end of the day, there's going to be no easy shortcuts. And the only way a person could truly come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is they begin to internalize Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. That all of our salvation, all of what we are, requires bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a tremendous avodah. That's why I said it's a little bit above your heads. Because Baruch Hashem, most of you have grown up well. You've grown up protected. You've grown up with everything that you need. But there are going to be stages in your life that you're going to need to tap into bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't care how much you have, how everything is given to you. At the end of the day, there are going to be challenges in your life that you're going to need to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is bitachon? It reminds me, one of the fellows who listens to my shiurim sent me the following thing. It's a famous question about Yuyu Mei Chayei Sarah, Mei Ashana V'Shim Shana V'Shev Ashanim, and all Chazal asked, why is it that it's not written straight, that she was 120 years old? Why Mei Ashana, Esrim Shana? So Chazal gave this answer. So one of my Talmidim has a sense of humor, said, it's because every time you ask a woman her age, you're never going to get a straight answer. Cute. You know what? The same thing applies in regards to bitachon as well. When it comes to bitachon, a lot of people use that word, and we don't really understand what bitachon is. How does that relate to us in very practical terms? So for the next 7-8 minutes, I just want to describe what bitachon is, what Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem means, and thereby maybe make it a little bit more of a part of our life. Today's Mahalach is going to be a Chassidish Mahalach. It's funny, when you say Musar, no one says yeah. But we say Chassidus, and people say yeah. Okay, so it works. Okay, here's Rav Levi Yitzchak of Arditchev, quoted by the Minchas Alaza. He says as follows, Bitachon is not a skula. You remember the story from the Stipler. Ein kan lo skula v'lo bracha v'lo avtacha. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you that if you have bitachon in him, everything is going to work out. Notice my formulation. Again, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you that if you have bitachon, everything is going to work out, that he's going to reward you for bitachon. Ella, ki im bimitzius viteva mamish. This is what I want to focus on today. When you have bitachon, you become, by definition, a different person. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards you for doing something good, not relying on other things, but ultimately recognizing that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back, but rather it's a lifestyle. It's an entirely different way of living. That's what bitachon is. It's an entirely different way of living. What does that mean? I've alluded to in the past that life doesn't always go the way we necessarily think it's going to go. Sometimes we expect the things to go one way and it goes another way. But not only does life go through that way, that process, sometimes we have that relationship with people. There are people that disappoint us. Or even more than that, there are people that hurt us. I was talking to one of my talmidim last night, and he said that he's here in Israel. He's alone. It's not like you guys. Guys who are in Kollel, there's less of a support system. He's already married with a family. And he has one cousin. And that one cousin, he expected him to be there for him. And he's just not there for him. Time after time after time. And that's hard. People disappoint us. Even family members disappoint us. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, Bitachon says that if that happens to you, that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to have that experience. Says the Pre-Tzaddik, in the beginning of this week's parsha, Rashi already points out that Vayigash Vayichi, there's nothing in between Vayigash Vayichi. Lama, Shenistamu Einam Shel Klal Yisrael. Because the eyes of Klal Yisrael have been closed. In other words, in Mitzrayim, the Shiva begins. Says Reb Tzadik HaKohen, Vayichi, but that Nistama is Vayichi, is when a person is living. When a person realizes that those challenges HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them, that where they are, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in that situation, that's where you're supposed to be. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's the meaning of the pasuk, Haboteach Bashem Chesed Yisovenu. A person that has bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks at every part of his life as a chesed. Eventually he's going to see how every part of his life is a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I asked my wife for example for this. You know, last week I wasn't here because I went to my nephew's bar mitzvah in America. My wife was also hoping to go, and then things just didn't work out. She wasn't able to go. So she was disappointed. And she said to herself, it must be that there must be a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want me to go spend time with the family. My wife calls me up Friday, and she says to me, Chaim, I'm in terrible pain. She had her tooth removed. She had an infection. And my wife said to me, you know what? I made a cheshbon. My tooth would have started to bother me. And the pain is excruciating. I don't know if anybody's been zocha to have an infection in their root canal. The pain is excruciating. She said, I would have been on the plane. I was able to be in a dentist chair a few hours later. If I would have been on the plane, it would have been the whole plane, and until we were going to Cleveland, and until we would have arranged and this and that and that and that. So she was able to experience that life, sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu disappoints you, is actually about giving you the best thing that you ever and you never thought about. And my wife said if she hadn't reacted the first time, when she said there must be a reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, then when she was sitting at home with the tooth pain, then she would have said, this is terrible. Not only am I not with my family, but also I have the excruciating tooth pain. But the moment in which a person says, Habotech Bashem v'chesed yisovein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this challenge, and I'm waiting, I'm watching. This is a process, in psychology as well, in CBT, that a person takes a step back and they watch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me see, why is it that this is happening? What can I learn from this? What angle am I not seeing? Right now it seems to be painful, or it seems to be uncomfortable, or it seems to be disappointing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I put bitachon in you that at the end of the day, I'm going to see the chesed. And you will. The amazing thing is, it sounds strange for those of us who don't do it. It sounds strange. What does it mean I'm going to see the chesed? I guarantee it's going to work. The moment to which a person takes a step back and doesn't get frustrated with others and doesn't get frustrated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, wait a second, I'm going to take a step back and see how this is going to play out for the best. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us that that's how it works. So nistamu einayim, sometimes when there is this challenge, that's when there is vayichi, that's when we truly live. Rabosai, that's about bitachon, and it's the same thing in regards to Olam Haba. Take a look at this beautiful chiddush from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Shar Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. You know, when we were kids, when we were first introduced to Olam Haba, it's only natural that Olam Haba come to our mind, and the Rambam describes this in Shmona Prakim, that's how you teach children about it, that we think of Olam Haba as being like a prize room, right? You know that you guys had this in school, that if you're a good boy for a certain amount of weeks, then they take you into they give you the opportunity to choose a prize. So many of us still have that childish image of what Olam Haba is. That if we're good in this world, we're going to hold ourselves back from doing averos, we're going to do mitzvos, then at the end we're going to get a prize. By the way, you know who believes that? Islamic terrorists. That's how they believe what Olam Haba is. And they're... prizes are a little bit more vulgar than our prizes. But at the end of the day, what they believe in is that. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, anybody who on some level is thinking about Olam Haba in that way has a totally distorted perspective of Olam Haba. Let's take a look. What is Olam Haba? Take a look. Shar Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, V'zehu Inyan Schar Olam Haba. I would say it's half, no, it's one-third of the way through the piece. You have it? Does the paragraph start? V'zehu inyan? In this edition, it's Lamed Tes. Beautiful. V'zehu inyan schar olam haba. Shehu maaseh yidei adam atzmo. Olam haba is not a prize room. Olam haba is you. What does that mean, olam haba is you? Look at this. Skip the next paragraph. Why does it say in Avos, the famous memra, kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek, La olam haba, every Jew has a chelek to olam haba. It should say, "Kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek ba olam haba." Every Jew has a chelek in olam haba. What is towards olam haba? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, "Avolo emes." Skipping down three lines, "Sha olam haba hu maisi yidei adam atzmo." It's what you yourself, a metzius that you create, your olam haba, is the reality that you create in this world. That, what does that mean? Shehir chifa hosif v'hiskin chelik la'atzbo b'maisav. Shelachach omer shelikol Yisrael yeshlam l'kol echad chelik hakedusha v'oros v'tzachzichos. The more light, the more spiritual light that you create in your life now, when your neshama after 120 separates from your guf, we'll be able to appreciate that light. Our neshama goes back to the spiritual worlds that it created. And if, God forbid, it did the opposite, so then it goes back to that. In other words, Olam Haba is simply a reality that we create. Just like bitachon is creating a new reality around ourselves, Olam Haba, that's the parallel that I'm trying to bring out. Lishuascha kavisi Hashem is not simply an attitude, it's a reality. Reb Levi Yitzchak taught us that we create around ourselves. So too, Olam Haba is a reality. It's not a prize room. It's not something separate. Let me bring this point out in two very practical ways. You take somebody, and he's never been exposed to the beauty of Gemara, and you put him in a shir. You ever been trapped in a shir? You couldn't get out. You didn't understand what was going on. It's close to Gehenna, no? So that's Olam Haba versus Gehenna. You imagine a person who's never been exposed to spirituality? He's not going to understand the word. But a person who's understood it, or sensitized his soul to it, he'll get billions and billions times of what he had in this world. So what we're doing now is sensitizing our neshama to ruchnius and desensitizing it to the opposite. That's one way of describing it. Another way of describing it is through the beautiful mashal of Shlomo Kalbach. Shlomo Kalbach said like this, you know what the difference between Olam Haba and Gehenim is? He said this in the world of Chesed. He said, it's the exact same thing. Olam Haba, Gan Eden and Gehenim are the exact same thing. But Gan Eden, there's a buffet. And Gehenim, there's a buffet, a beautiful buffet, fantastic food. Except that in the upper worlds, Shlomo Kalbach was Mechadesh, don't take this literally, but the mushel is very, very beautiful. There are no joints. That means if you want to eat, you can't put food into your mouth. Gehenim is you have people who are trying to get the food in their mouth and they can't. In Gan Eden, each one is sitting across from each other and they're feeding each other. That's the difference between Gan Eden and Gehenna. Right? You're able to feed the person in front of you. You can't feed yourself. What Rav Shlomo was saying is that in this world, he was saying 2 points. Number one, in this world, you truly becoming satiated is by giving to others, not taking for yourself. But he was also saying that for the next world, there's no way you're going to be able to appreciate the next world if the approach is selfish. So this world, you prepare yourself to be able to internalize the spiritual messages in contrast to in this world where a person, if he focused only on himself, will never be able to appreciate that. So that's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner over here is saying in Shar Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, that the essence of Olam Haba is really the reality that we create. So Rabbos, let's get practical. The Yisod of Lishuas L'Kivisi Hashem, we're saying, has two imports. Number one is the more and more bitachon a person has, the happier a person becomes. The more a person feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good around them. Not because that's reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them a prize. But rather, it becomes a metzius, the way in which a person looks at the world. No one could hurt them. And then eventually they see the positives around them. Just like my wife was able to see the positive around her. In that hard experience. And Kal V'chomer for experiences that are even harder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect all of us. And then, the next point that we made is that's the same Yisod in regards to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not a reward, Olam Haba is a metzius. Practically, what does that mean? The Yisod is that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. You thought that you were supposed to get X, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you Y. Or you thought you were supposed to get X and it's even harder when someone else gave you Y. And once a person really internalizes that, then they'll be able to protect themselves from so many negative thoughts. So many negative thoughts. Let me give you an example. A few examples. Guys come back and they say, if YU would it only not give me those unnecessary courses, then I'd be able to really learn. No, if you're supposed to be in YU, and for some reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that they're supposed to give you unnecessary courses, then that's exactly where you're supposed to be. There's no justification for the unnecessary courses. But at the end of the day, if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, and this is where you're supposed to be, all those are assumptions, two assumptions. Obviously, you have to ask your Rabbeim about those two assumptions. Has HaKadosh Baruch Hu given this to me, truly given this to me? And is this where I'm supposed to be? But if both of those things are true, then that becomes one's tafkid, and you could be able to see the good and thrive and excel in it. That would be HaPoteach B'Shem Chesed Yisoveinu. A person will appreciate it. Some people will say, I'm so busy. And I applied for that job. That job I applied for. But I didn't get it. And if I had applied for that job, then I would be able to spend more time with my wife and children. But because I didn't get that job, then I can't be as good of a husband as a father I want to be. No, 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 that's not true. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that these are your hours that you're supposed to have, then that is the way you're supposed to be the best father and husband that you could become. I know it's a little bit advanced. I know you're not thinking in those terms. But in 7 years from now, everybody should get the best job that they want to get. But at the end of the day, whatever challenge, keep these things in mind. People say all the time, if I only had more time, I would do more chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this is the amount of time that you have, then you have a responsibility to figure out how you're going to be able to do chesed with the amount of free time that you have. And the last argument. I'm talking to Shana Aleph, guys. Some of you are going to be discussing with your parents, and your parents are going to say, can't come back next year. Some of your parents are going to say, got to come back in January. Some of your parents are going to say, don't come back. We don't want you. For none of you, that's going to happen. But for many of you, there are going to be challenges and tensions that are going to go on with your parents about your next step in life. Hopefully you're going to handle it with a lot of midos. And hopefully you'll be lucky that they'll handle it with a lot of midos. What happens if they don't handle it with a lot of midos? Habotech b'shem chesed yisov avenu. It means that you're supposed to receive that. And that is your vayichid. And you don't change your midos. You don't distort your midos. You don't lower yourself down to somebody else. I'm not talking now about your parents per se. But you don't lower yourself down because someone else doesn't treat you well that you don't treat them well. Kal v'chomer, ben benosh al kal v'chomer, when there's a chiyuv da'araisa of kabe desavich v'asimecha of the asaris ha'debros, even if you feel they're not being fair to you. But at the end of the day, if something happens where you ultimately get given a card that you didn't want to get, and you're in Chutz La'aretz when you wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael, or you're in any situation where you wanted something that was spiritually higher, and at first glance HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you something else, or your parents gave you something else, at the end of the day, HaBotech B'Hashem Chesed Yisalvenu means that a person is supposed to say, I am not going to carry bitterness and anger with me, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is how I'm supposed to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. This is the place that I'm supposed to grow and thrive and live in. Sometimes the places that are darkest are the places where you could grow the most. And that's what Reb Tzadok HaKohen is saying. Tzadok HaKohen is saying, when it was Nistamay Neim Shel Yisrael, that was when it was Vayichi Yaakov. That is when a person really, really lives. Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch says, the reason why there's no mention of the last 18 years of Yaakov is because Yaakov, that time, he was already no longer faced with any challenges. That's not when Yaakov thrives. Yaakov thrives when he has those challenges. When things become easy for Yaakov Avinu, then it no longer becomes a Chefza Shel Torah. The Chefza Shel Torah is dafka, particularly those challenges. So even more practical terms. I was talking to... There are Shana Bet girls that come to YU's Israel campus for Shurim once a week. And almost all of them go back in January. So now you guys are able to learn. The older girls, at least. So they go back in January. And one of the opening questions that the girls asked me, we had last session, we had question and answers. In a very sincere way, but in a mistaken way, one of the girls asked, how do we hold on to what we had in Israel? It's a very sincere question. It's a fantastic question. But there's a premise that I think needs to be slightly adjusted. There isn't an ideal. And that ideal is being in a particular place. And everything else is a b'di'evet. I went straight to YU from high school. But I have a friend who learned here for 2 years. Who's a Rav now, he's a Rebbe in the Gush, also Rav David Gottlieb. Rav David Gottlieb was trying to explain to me how strong Shana Bet was. I guess it's a plug for Shalavim, how strong Shana Bet was in Shalavim. So he said to me, the biggest Aveira I did in Shana Bet was I thought in learning in the bathroom. That's what he said was the biggest Aveira he did. Halavai would be that way in Shana Bet today. But when a person has that attitude, that Shana Bet is the ideal. And everything else is a b'di'evet. How do I hold on? I had this, it was great, and now I want to hold on to it. I think there's a chisaron in bitachon in that. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in the middle of your Shana Bet, you're supposed to go back. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that at the end of the day, you're not supposed to be doing Shana Bet. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I thought that this job was going to be best for my Ruchnis and it wasn't. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that my parents are going to be difficult with me in terms of my spiritual growth, then that's exactly what you're supposed to have. That's Lishu Asra Kivisi Hashem. I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me these challenges to be the best that I could be. Of course, we mentioned last time that that's exactly what Yosef HaTzadik says back to his brothers. He says, you didn't do anything wrong to me. It's a very high madriga. To be thrown into a pit and to say to a person, you know, I don't look at it that you did anything wrong to me. For sure, they have to pay the price. Yosef HaTzadik made them pay the price. He made them go through this whole process. Onesh, for sure, is magia to the person who perpetrates the crime. But at the end of the day, the victim could look at his life in two ways. He could look at his life as being a victim, or he could look at his life as a journey of growth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have. So life is never about looking and saying, well, that's the ideal, and now Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and God put me in a situation where I'm now in a b'dieved. I'm not holding on to the past. I'm taking the past, and now I'm going to use that to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed around me. It's an entirely different way of living. That's Lishu Aschla Kivisi Hashem. Reb Zalman Sirotzkin points out that that's a slow process. What did we say the tradition for generations was to say? Lishu Aschla Kivisi Hashem. Kivisi Hashem Lishu Aschla. Hashem Lishu Aschla Kivisi. The word Hashem slowly gets closer to the beginning. To have HaKadosh Baruch Hu so central in our lives that it's always at the beginning is a hard process. It starts with Lishu Aschla Kivisi Hashem. And the end, in Parashas Vaschan, Rav Zalman Sirotzkin writes in the Zayin LaTorah, at the end, a person could reach that Madrega of Bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always in front of us. But that's why I'm discussing with you now in Shana Aleph. In a way, like I said, this is a little bit premature. You're not at that stage in life. Baruch Hashem, you have everything in general that's given to you, but there might have been experiences that you had in the past, and certainly, I guarantee, in the most beautiful part of life, there are going to be things that are going to come up that you're going to be disappointed. And how you react to that disappointment will be entirely dependent on bitachon. And the bitachon is not a reward, that if I have bitachon in Hashem, that everything is for the best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it the best. No. It's a way of life. And that way of life is a life in which you feel the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beis Hashem, we should be zochet to feel the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to be mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Shabbat.